Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you wanted to create some money for free agency and only about $2.5 million under the cap, Tom Brady would have been one of the first guys you go to and lower that down.
Dale Arnold.
How do you win back fans who have lost faith in your ownership?
Yeah, we tripped up one of these guys, or somebody did, and it turns out there's some little 12-year-old in Toronto.
Rich Keefe.
I'll tell you what, if I was the head of a newspaper and you didn't do your job, you'd be held accountable.
Dale and Keefe, middays.
And licking crumbs off the floor.
Piranhas in the...
It's really gross. Like, have some respect for yourself, salesperson.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keefe. Sports Radio WEEI. So sometimes it's the show outside the show that is more fun than the show. Not
the show never stops, Dale.
Well, sometimes it's not on the air.
Oh, that's right.
It's the other
gotta pay the bills, as they say.
Yeah. So I'm walking by the control room.
Yeah.
And I'm hearing Shime talking about his big plans for.
Well, yeah, you know, I walked in there.
Wild Friday night.
I asked the gentleman. I go, "What do you guys got? Any big plans? Anybody getting hammered this weekend? What are we doing? Where are we going?"
I hear in one sentence the two phrases that should never be in the same sentence.
Well, I think you're wrong.
Ever
here.
Again?
Yeah.
I heard Shime put in the same sentence: scorpion bowls.
Yeah.
And karaoke bar.
Let me ask you something,
you
Dale.
You cannot combine those two.
I think you have
Next
to combine
thing
the
you
two.
Know, you're doing a 9-minute version of Hotel sure. California.
Get up there. Really embrace the crowd.
The more the merrier.
I was going to say, have you ever done karaoke without a scorpion bowl?
No.
Okay. Then that's what you
a
that's
scorpion
what you should.
Bowl.
You've just
way.
Never done. You're out on karaoke is what you're saying.
See,
karaoke's the best.
I got scarred by karaoke.
Why?
At Papoose Pond.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Here we go.
Every Saturday night was karaoke night. And we would have the exact same group that would go the same weeks.
Right.
And I used Hotel California on purpose because there was this guy who did the extended version of Hotel California every Saturday night for like 6 straight years.
Oh, that was his gig?
He
would go every week?
It was his jam.
Like, get out of there, buddy. Get out of there.
I got scarred by karaoke.
But that was his song.
Just because of this guy singing
that's
Hotel
tough.
California.
I'm not a fan either.
Every single year. Well.
Life is like a hurricane here in Dale's world.
Now, it's possible.
Takes and Roman Reigns. It's a Dale world. Might solve a mystery. Rewrite sports history. Dale's.
It's entirely possible that Shime is better at this than I'm expecting he is.
No, Shime's good. I saw he has a video of himself doing karaoke. I have not seen him live. I've seen him recorded, though.
We have to hear the video.
I feel like anybody
who... We have to hear the video.
I don't know if the audio quality
the
is
audio
fantastic.
The audio quality is not great, but I can either... I'll be here Monday, so I can record a video tonight.
Yes,
nice.
And
perfect.
I can make sure that we have some content for Monday.
Because you, there's a simple thing that separates good karaoke and bad karaoke.
It's called a scorpion bowl.
It's a scorpion bowl. But you know
it's
the person...
three scorpion bowls.
You know the person is good when they never look at the screen. The person who explores the space with the wireless mic and walks around like he or she is doing a concert, then you know you got something. If the person stands there nervously, kind of shaking and just is reading the thing,
like eyes riveted on the screen,
kind of what I do. I just kind of stare at. I don't know any words. I'm terrible.
Wait a minute.
What?
Big karaoke guy yourself? Are
Love
you?
Karaoke.
Do you?
I have a trash voice, which I admit to.
Nice,
but it doesn't mean I don't try hard.
Do you have a musical genre in particular?
All over the place. I'll do some Bubba Sparks. Bare Naked Ladies.
I'm trying to picture.
I'll do some Eve 6.
Keith doing 80s hair bands.
I'll do
or
Everlast.
Something.
No, Pearl Jam. Anybody can do Pearl Jam. You just do Pearl Jam voice.
Yeah,
I can do that. So really, whatever you throw at me, I'll give it a shot. But chances are, it's not going to be great. But I love it. Nothing like a good karaoke.
Generally speaking, the people who tell you they're pretty good at karaoke.
Yeah.
Suck.
You know who's really good is Wrinkle Von Dinkle, who called in before.
Rizzle Von Dizzle.
Rizzle Von Dizzle is unbelievable. My podcast partner is unbelievable at karaoke. One of the best. I don't really know what that gets you necessarily, but Ross, you going to sing this one for us?
This is all you. This is your song.
I'm not singing it. I'm not singing
it. Sample.
I literally don't have the words. I need. I'm so bad.
It's Pearl Jam. No one.
I don't. Yeah.
I think you killed
it. Is this just the instrumental?
This is the karaoke version.
Oh, funny. Yeah, I don't know the words.
I would sing for you guys right now if he played my karaoke.
All right, let's hear Shine.
No, I'm not saying we have to do this.
You just volunteered for it. It's a Fear Fest Friday, as Dale said, including karaoke. So put in a song.
Dale might be a little scared after this.
No, that's fine. So what song do you want? Put in a request.
We're going to go with 1,000 Miles by Vanessa Carlton. The thing that you can't
song.
It's terrible for radio, is I play a mean air piano.
No, the air piano is definitely helpful. It's definitely helpful.
I'm guessing he's the only person who's ever requested that particular tune.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Making my way downtown, walking fast. Faces
down. Come on, time.
Hold on. I need to regroup.
To put you over here. Here we go.
I'm staring blankly ahead, just making my way through the crowd.
I take it all back.
This is awful, Shime.
I take it all back.
He's just laughing.
You need scorpion balls.
Can we get some scorpion balls for Shime?
Really need a scorpion ball, but I don't like that.
I should have some nips in my car I can bring in here for you.
Oh, that's not a good thing to tell the boys and girls.
No. I don't drink them in the car, Dale.
Into
have them.
The sky. Do you think time would pass me by?
Stop while we have anybody left listening to
just
us.
Laughed. Is that what you do? Is that your thing? You just hold back laughter the whole time?
That's no, but I need a couple of beers. I need a couple of beers to be frank.
See, you can't do it.
You put me on the spot here. I'm just saying.
You put yourself on the spot, Shime. Nobody asked you to do it. He goes, I'll do it if you want me to.
Right.
He goes, well, not really, right now? It's like, it was your idea. But that is proof right there. That is what sober karaoke sounds like.
See, Dale, that's why karaoke plus scorpion bowls is a necessity.
Oh, no, I take it all back. You need scorpion bowls.
Monday, we're getting scorpion bowls at high noon. We're all going to do scorpion bowls. And then Shime's going to sing for the people.
The mic quality here isn't great. It's fine.
Now we're blaming the microphone.
Now we're blaming the mic.
I'm sure the guy who packs up the karaoke machine and brings it to the bar every week has better equipment than this.
Hey, don't.
We are a Marconi award-winning radio station. We have the best microphones in the business. Don't blame the microphone, Shime. He was just choking back laughter the entire time.
Carpenter who blames his tools.
Exactly.
It's hard when Keith's just standing there laughing at you.
Listen, sometimes you're going to have a tough audience. You got to play to that. I could have heckled you, but I didn't.
I should have closed my eyes.
I should have heckled him. That was not great, Shy.
I need to visualize better.
Just close your eyes and sing. Just listen to the music.
Staring blankly ahead, just make my way through the crowd.
I take it all.
It's terrible. It was so bad. I don't know if he was trying to do a voice or what he was doing or somebody was tickling him.
He was trying to do Vanessa Carlton.
He was.
That's how she sounds.
He was.
In his head.
No.
Right, exactly.
Before Scorpion Ball.
Just him. Well, that's really nice. Thank you.
I chose the wrong song. I should have gone with Backstreet Boys.
Now he's upset about his own song choice.
His musical.
Nobody made
decisions.
Him do anything.
I blame myself.
You know, Texter brings up a good point.
Yeah. Oh.
When Shime is out there tonight, it might be the audience that needs the scorpion bowl.
That's a good point.
It might not be Shime.
No, that's actually a great point. It's not just the performer. It is the audience. If the audience is feeling pretty good, it really doesn't matter what's going on with the microphone.
That guy
that's a good point.
Pond who sang Hotel California for seven consecutive years, was better than that. Better than that.
Well, damn, 7 years. I mean, he obviously worked his way up.
He knew all the words.
He knew all the words,
which is
impressive.
He didn't have to look at the screen.
But that's another song you don't want to be.
No.
There's a long bridge in the middle of that song without words.
You don't have to tell Dale.
He was staring at everybody during the bridge.
But
it's like they were challenging.
Yeah. He's like, go ahead, take the microphone away. Go ahead. I dare you to come up here. This is my space. I am allowed to do one song. I happen to choose a 9-minute song, and so be it. Go ahead. I dare you. Take the microphone.
There's some little 6-year-old girl, you know, who wants to sing Beyonce, and he's pushing
her
off the stage.
Hotel California.
Again.
You play the hits. Play the hits.
I can't hear this song
without
seeing this guy. I see this guy as soon as I hear it. That's him.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Just staring at you?
Yeah.
Glaring at you. Daring you.
Just staring daggers. Making eye contact with everybody in the room. It's like, what, does he want to fight me? What's happening now?
That's what Shime's going to be like tonight.
I can't wait to see Shime tonight. I might go.
Shime at the...
Yeah, I should come. I'm telling you.
Can you dedicate a song to Dale and Keefe?
100%.
That'd be really good.
I will record it. I will dedicate it. We can tweet it out from the account.
Thank you.
That'd Shime at the Chinese karaoke bar.
Perfect. Even if he brings in one listener, he would have done a great job.
I think he just cost us a lot more than that, to be honest.
You got
to
bring him back, Sean. You got to bring him back.
You guys got to let me rebound. I need to get some more.
No, I thought we're probably good, Sean. Right.
Fine. 12:30 it is.
Don't worry, Shime, because this will appear on next week's
Week in Review. That's
anyway,
right.
So
staring blankly ahead, make him away. Make him away.
That's a bold musical choice on his
He was very confident in the choice, but then as soon as it started, here we go. How many excuses? Bad mic? Put on the spot?
Now blame Rossi. It just makes sense.
Blame Rossi. Oh, my God. All right.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll try to seize control of this and
we
get back to the calls.
I have confidence.
We're not letting him sing
again.
No,
we're not.
Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We return to a Falls Count Anywhere Friday with Dale and Keith right now on WEEI.
My favorite entrance music.
No.
On a Falls Count Anywhere Friday.
You can't have everything.
You know what it is? It's a ripoff of Ric Flair's.
Oh, a little
2001
bit.
And, you know, trying to read. You can't do that.
Nah, you can't.
I mean, once Chris Scheim has sung a Vanessa Carlton song,
you can't go
back and sing a different song.
No, you can't.
Ever.
I'm staring blankly.
No, without alcohol.
Just make him away through the crowd.
I take it off.
Now, before we move on, Shine, let me ask you, is that going to be part of the playlist tonight, or is that maybe been scratched?
I don't know. We'll see. It depends how much Scorpion Bowls have been drinking.
Confidence shook.
Well, one last question, and I'm even sorry I'm asking this. How many numbers do you plan on doing tonight, Chris?
I generally average, depends how busy the place is,
sure.
But I generally average 2 or 3.
Nice.
Wow.
That's that sweet spot. 2 or 3.
The crowd chanting, "We want Shine. We want
Shine.
Time. Show. It's just, I'm very nervous.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard back here.
I hear
it's
you.
Hard enough life.
Scorpion Bowl, one song. Another Scorpion Bowl, another song. Another Scorpion Bowl, another song.
Might even have to get a Bud Light to carry up with me.
Oh, yeah. Holding the beer. That you definitely have to have a beer while you're singing.
It's got to be like a vodka on the rocks. You'll look like Sinatra standing
up. Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah.
Ooh, a crooner. That's not bad.
That's a great idea. Something to consider for sure.
617-779-7937. Jackson, New Hampshire. Hey, Jack.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up? Good morning.
Yeah, I usually like go to Wanted Dead or Alive by John Bon Jovi.
Sure, another classic.
Because most of the people in the audience know it. And
they'll sing along.
Good point. Yeah, they'll help you out. Good point.
And they won't hear how bad you are.
Right.
So
no, they'll know.
That's a good one.
Just they're a part of it. What
so
do you got?
This morning I heard that Jared Cook was signed by the Saints. And I think the Pats need a tight end, whether Gronk comes back or not.
Agreed.
And do you think Austin Seferian Jenkins can still play?
Yeah, I don't think that's a bad one. I think that'd be an upgrade over what. Well, first of all, you have nothing, so anything is an upgrade. But
I mean, literally nothing at the moment.
You have nothing. You have Hollister.
You don't know if. Well, he's always hurt.
He's always hurt.
You don't know that Gronk is coming back. Although I have given you my 100%.
Yeah, you have
lead pipe lock. Assurance that he's going to be back.
I think he's still undecided. And I wouldn't rule out the Willie McGinnis thought that maybe he does come back, but he doesn't play in all 16 games. Maybe he waits a little bit. I know it sounds unorthodox, but the Patriots are willing to do weird
Willie
stuff.
Willie McGinnis was coming back.
I hope he does too. I think he'd help you on the D-line. He looks like he could still play. But I think they're going to draft a tight end, and I think they're going to draft one relatively high, whether it's the first round or the second round. That'll be one of your guys, but if Austin Seferian Jenkins, he's still out there, I believe. I wouldn't mind that. He's not a terrible player.
The Patriots did do a little something kind of under the radar yesterday. What they did, according to Field Yates, they converted $8.5 million of Stephon Gilmore's contract into a signing bonus. So they created $5.67 million in cap space. At one point yesterday, they were down to $2 million and something in cap space. They're now at almost $8 million. And these are things that they do on a regular basis. Tom Brady's contract extension will be announced sometime soon. That will create more cap space.
This stuff is so dumb, though, when you're trying to wrap your head around the salary cap and what it all means and real money and fake money. And then this is a guy who's still getting all of his money. They're just moving it around. So it's almost like, why didn't you do this in the first place? Anyone had more cap space? Like, I don't really get it. Khalil Mack and the Bears just did the same thing where they just gave him a ton of money. Or they just move the money around. He's still getting the same amount, and now they freed up even more than this with Gilmore. But, yeah, this will allow them to sign someone like Steven Gostkowski. And
there are a
they're still
of
up against
out
it.
There that they are in the process of re-signing Gostkowski.
Right.
Which makes sense.
Fine, they need a kicker.
And,
you know, who's available.
He's better than most.
Right. He is. He's not perfect, but he's better than most. So they got the kicker back. They got the punter back. They still have a few more holes to fill. And it seems like if they do anything, if any like big time name joins this team at this point, it would have to be a trade. Justin Houston got signed by the Colts, like so he was another one of the guys. If you're looking at top 20, top 25 available players, with Jared Cook gone, Justin Houston gone, they're almost all off the board at this point. So if they were to add somebody significant, I think it would have to come in a trade.
Jared Cook.
Yeah, so did I. I think he would have been really good here, but they're gonna have to come up with some other option at tight end. Hopefully, somebody. Better than Dwayne Allen, somebody better than Scott Chandler, maybe in like that Martellus Bennett range, although it won't be Martellus Bennett.
It won't be Martellus. Unfortunately, it does not appear that
he says he's not doing it. Yep.
Peter's in JP. Hey, Peter.
Hey, guys. There's been a lot of talk if the Celtics can... hi, Dylan.
What's up?
First thing. Okay. There's been a lot of talk about if Kyrie Irving, I mean, if the Celtics can flip a switch. You know, coming into the playoffs.
Right.
I don't know that answer, but one thing I'm sure of is Kyrie can. He was awesome yesterday in a game that meant a lot. He was flying all over the place on defense. He was very engaged on the bench.
He didn't miss 10 threes, but overall, yeah, he was pretty good.
Yeah, but he was just he was playing harder that's where I noticed it, playing harder on defense and. You know, when the guys were playing good, he would jump off the bench, clap his hands, you know, slap the guys on the back. He doesn't do that normally.
No, it did seem like, you're right, Peter, it did seem like the team...
A little more enthusiastic.
Even though it came in a loss, but it did seem like they were enjoying each other's company more than they normally do.
So I think he can turn the switch. I don't know about the rest of the team. So, I have some hope there, but, you know, it's Kyrie. So today I love him. Tomorrow I might not.
Exactly. And same with Kyrie. Today he might love his teammates. Tomorrow he might not. I mean, it's the exact same thing with him. And he even made
the
comment.
Generally speaking, when he plays, he's really good.
Yeah, more often than not, on the court, he's a great player. I mean, he's a superstar player. He's going to get you. It's the other guys that sort of come and go, whether it's Tatum, Brown, Hayward, Morris, Smart, those guys are capable of really good games, but they're also capable of being invisible. Whereas Kyrie, you're always going to get, especially in the playoffs, and he's even alluded to it, and I kind of agree with him on it. There's only a couple of guys on this team, he and Baines, who have played in and won the finals. So as far as knowing what it takes deep into the playoffs and playing well, it's really just Kyrie. I mean, I know those guys got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, this group without Irving, most of this group, but they also had a 3-2 series lead and lost it. And now this group is different, so the dynamic is also a little bit different. So Kyrie, I'm with Peter on that. He's going to have a good playoff run. The question is, what do the other guys have a good playoff run?
John's in Andover. Hey, John, how you doing?
Hey, guys. I was going to ask you guys first before I tell you what I know. Have you heard anything you think about the possibility of A.J. Green coming over in a trade?
Well, his name has been out there a little bit. I would love it. I don't know how realistic it is.
His cap hit, if you acquired him this year, is $15.176
million. So that, I have a friend that lives in Ohio, and he said that, as usual, the Bengals are going to totally be trashed this year.
Right.
And that there's some talk out, even out there about the Patriots taking a prorated piece of A.J. Green if they tank early. And then because they play in that division is probably tougher this year than it's been in a while. And then you're going to go ahead and end up in a position where A.J. Green's available at prorated money to take on for the last 10 games in the playoffs. What do you guys think of that?
I would rather them just get him now. And I understand like the money could be a factor, but we saw Josh Gordon. He was able to kind of pick it up, and obviously it didn't work out for him. But most guys, don't we always hear about how they have a hard time showing up here and, you know, without a camp? And, like, what a big difference it was last year for Philip Dorsett because he had all of camp and a whole season. So if these receivers, more of them than not, kind of struggle to pick up the offense, wouldn't you rather get A.J. Green now or in a month or in 2 months than wait till the trade deadline?
His cash outlay for this year is not outlandish, $12.176 million. His cap hit, as we said, is $15.176.
That's more than they normally spend at that position, but if he's available, I would absolutely do it for 1 year.
And we were talking about, you know, I think that they will announce a Tom Brady contract extension, well, when they need to, but soon.
Yeah.
I think it's done. I think the basic pieces of it were decided on a plane ride from California back to Boston between the owner and the player.
And they have no future quarterback, so it's Brady. So you might as well sign him to a 3-year extension.
Let's hear what Mike Giardi of the NFL Network said about that very topic.
This has never happened before. Tom Brady has never entered the final year of his deal. It's always ripped up the season before. So it would have been last offseason where they would have redone his deal. And we know Brady has said over and over again that he wants to keep playing. 45 is sort of that goal, but he's even hinted, well, we get to 45 and then we'll see what happens. I think the general expectation in New England is that something will get done, but you've already gone by one checkpoint. If you wanted to create some money for free agency, and the Patriots are certainly up against it, I believe only about $2.5 million under the cap right now, Tom Brady would have been one of the first guys you go to and say, we're going to take that 27, which is a number he's never been at before in terms of cap hit, and lower that down. Do it with an extension, keep this thing going. Hasn't happened just yet. I've asked the Patriots a couple times about where they're at with this, and they have not responded as of yet. So you wonder if there's something going on, or if they're looking at this situation now, Andrew, and saying, well, you're going to be 42. We'll just play this year by year. And as long as you continue to produce, we'll keep you on the roster, but we're not going to tie up future years if we don't know what kind of performance we're going to get from you. Although, again, seems a little bit crazy, but again, 42 is a little bit crazy for a quarterback in the National Football League. Yeah.
There's a reason why it seems crazy, because it is.
Why hasn't it been announced yet?
They just haven't done it yet. I mean,
why not?
They announced they haven't announced Stephon Gilmore.
Well, Phil Yates had the report though,
right.
But
yes.
So we'll say that's done.
They announce things when they damn well want to.
But so is it? But what's weird is what they seem like they were involved in free agency.
His point about the salary cap number.
Yeah.
They're not going to have a $27 million cap number for Tom Brady. They're not.
No, although he's worth it.
No, my point is the cap number.
But would they want to tie themselves into 3 more years of Brady?
Yep.
Like you and I would, but
yes,
I guess
I think that's what they're going to do.
Okay. I just wonder why they haven't done it yet, and I wonder if
you're not a patient person, are you?
No.
I hear that a lot from you. You know, well, why haven't they done it yet?
But there has to be a reason. Like, why haven't they done it?
Like Gronk. We haven't heard from Gronk yet.
Yeah, and I think I have a reason. I think
they're still negotiating.
No, well, I think he could be gone. I think they're negotiating how much money he's going to get or how much practice time he has to do. I think there's a negotiation going on.
And I do think that in the Brady situation, while the owner and the player could have discussed the general parameters, there's still nuts and bolts things that have to be done. Don Yee and presumably Nick Caserio or somebody. Belichick would obviously be involved.
But like, is this,
I don't think that they're sitting there saying, hey, come on, it's Friday. We got to get something out here.
But has this prevented them from signing anybody? I guess would be my question. Because it seems like they were in on some of these receivers.
I think that they would have freed up money as they needed to.
Somehow. Like for Adam Humphries. Like if they were really going to give him $10 million a year, you look at it right now and you say, how would that have been possible?
Golden Tate or Cole Beasley. People nuts. We'll do this. We'll move this here. We'll convert that there. It drives people nuts because the numbers don't always. They would have found the money if Humphries had said yes. They were going to pay him the money. They would have found a way to do it.
Yeah, and so I'm curious why, because like Mike Giardi was saying, like there's always the point. And remember, this was mid-season. Now all they did was go out and win the Super Bowl, so things can certainly change. But mid-season, I remember we had Tommy Kern on, and we asked the question, why hasn't Brady signed an extension? Like, he not only does he not go into the walk year of a deal, he usually doesn't go into 2 years left. It's right before the 2 years are left is when he signs an extension. And I said, has he not signed an extension because he doesn't want to or because the Patriots don't want him to? And his answer at the time was a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And so I was like, gee. All right,
Patriots wanted to see.
And Brady was also wanting to maybe see what was going on. And do you think part of it is, like, I can't envision at this point Brady playing anywhere else. And I understand Joe Montana did. I understand Peyton Manning and Brett Favre, they all did. I just can't imagine him playing for someone else.
No.
But as part of him saying, well, why would I sign an extension because Bruce Ellington and Philip Dorsett are my second and third best receivers right now? Like, why would I? Why, like, is there any way? And Gronk may retire this year or next year. And then Edelman.
See, I think Brady already knows what Gronk's going to do. I think that they've got communication between them. And in the same way, I think the Patriots know. Okay, Gronk wants to play
but
this
don't
year.
You
we
got
to figure it out, but he wants to play.
But Brady loves playing with Gronk, but he also has to be realistic that he's going to play longer than Gronk. Don't you think? Like, even if Gronk does play this year, he's going to play. You're going to give him another year? Like, I think Brady definitely plays two or three more years. Gronk, I barely think he's going to play. I don't think he's going to play one more. And if he does, I think that's going to be it. So I wonder if, say, Edelman and Gronk, two of his best friends and two of his favorite teammates, if those guys end up moving on, does he really want to commit to 3 years here, not knowing what the future is really going
to
look like?
Except he may commit to 3 years, but he's got the ultimate hold card, which is, I'm retired. I'm out.
Unless he wants to keep playing, though.
But in your scenario where the roster gets decimated and all of his friends are gone and he doesn't have anybody to throw to, he can say, okay, you know, I've had enough.
But what if he doesn't have enough? What if he says, I've had enough with who's left? With Maurice Harris? Like, man, I don't want to throw to this guy anymore. Like, give me some real players. Then they're like, well, you know, we're beefing up the defense. You're going to hand the ball to Sony Michel a lot. And we'll find some free agents that were on, or, you know, practice squad wide receivers. Like, that's what we're going to get. So I wonder if there's a little bit of hesitancy on his end.
And how many times, though, has Tom Brady, at this point of the offseason, looked at his receiving corps and said, really? I mean, my guess is
probably, I mean, last year
five,
he had to
six
be thinking
times
that.
He's got to be sitting there going, oh, God, really?
Yeah.
And they always find a way. They always... You know, now, maybe if Josh McDaniels had taken a head coaching job somewhere.
Well, not in 06. I mean, 06 is a long time ago. But in 06, they certainly didn't. And that may have been what prevented them.
Right.
And then so 07, they said, okay, fine. We'll get you some guys. Because 06 was the, hey, we got Brady, so he'll figure it out. And then ultimately, they didn't. And then 07, they said, all right, we're going to make up for it. We're going to get you a Hall of Famer. We're going to get you a great slot receiver. We're going to get you another deep threat. We're going to go crazy in 07. So he's had some year, like they traded for Brandon Cooks 2 years ago, which he had to have loved, I would imagine. And then last year, looking at it, saying, all right, you traded him away, and who did you get? Like, who did you replace him with? And then this year, as it stands right now, I know that the draft is another month away, but as it stands right now, I'm not saying he wants to leave because of this, because that'd be crazy, but he can't be looking at this group of receivers and saying, good, we're all set for next year.
And we should probably sort this out for some folks out there who may not know about this, because one of the texters said they can't announce anything for Brady till August. That's not true.
Yeah, I thought that was the case too, but that's not true.
No, what they did was they added those bonuses, which is not redoing the whole deal.
Yeah, he had the incentives is different.
Right.
So they can, because
he had no chance at anyway, but that's beside the point.
No, not really.
617-779-7937. Mike's in Chicopee. Hey, Mike.
What's up, Mike? Mike.
Oh, he's not there.
Oh, come on, Mike. Mike wanted to talk about karaoke with Shyam, probably. Still, people are still driving around now with Shyam's voice in their head, and they're not going to be able to get that out for probably the entire weekend.
Vanessa lyrics. Carlton's,
yeah.
And Shyam's voice.
In the tune of Chris Shyam, who will be back on the Monday.
The musical stylings.
Yes.
I'm staring blankly ahead, just make my way through the crowd.
It was rough. And so Monday we're going to get a full recap. Maybe you'll redeem yourself.
I'm going to hope so, because that was quite embarrassing.
there might not be enough scorpion bowls in the whole world.
No,
just you guys to give a little background, what's going on back here.
More of a background?
We're getting phone calls. Some people ask Shyam where he's going to be tonight because they want to come and enjoy this live, and some of them may even Facebook Live it.
Really? Now, if the salespeople weren't all, you know, looking around for free food, they might look at this as a real opportunity to hype this up. Go see Shyam Time live.
Did you not hear him?
What? No, I did. Dale, there's two
Darren
things.
Blankly ahead.
Did you hear that?
If you're going to go see karaoke, like American Idol. People like American Idol for the really, really good people and the really, really bad people.
Who won season two of American Idol?
No idea.
Who's William Hung?
Exactly. I know exactly who that is.
Make him away.
There he is. There's William Hung.
Just like him.
There's William Hung. Those are the people that you want to see. In fact, I prefer the people who are terrible at it. The people who are really good... Good, you know, good for them, like feather in your cap. But when you're terrible at it, you're like, good. You make me feel better about myself.
Well, how about if you're terrible at it, but you think you're really good?
Fine. Fine. Then you got to take them down a peg or two. That's what you got to do. You got to tell them that was terrible. And then you just keep replaying it over and over again.
Let's try Mike in Chicopee one more time. Hey, Mike.
Hello.
Mike.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Pretty good.
So my buddies and I hang out in a karaoke bar.
Nice.
That's where we're at. So when we play fantasy football against each other, the bet is that the loser of the match has to sing a song picked by the other guy.
Oh, I love it.
The winner.
I love it.
So
this sounds like fantasy football loser stuff.
That's what you just said.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
That's perfect.
Touch Yourself from the Devils was one of the worst I have had to sing. In the end of the song, you just keep going. I touch myself. I touch it. You're standing there in the middle of the bar with everyone.
My God, Mike.
It's like,
you don't actually have to do that. You don't have to actually act it out. You can just sing it.
I like that. That's a good fantasy football punishment. You're not hurting anybody. Good, clean fun.
No or anything, and you're up there, and it's fun. You bet for pride with your buddies, not money.
Mike, can you just give me a little sampling of the last song that you had to sing, just like a little taste?
The last song I had to sing was "I'm a bitch, I'm a lover, I'm a fine," something like that. Tor, I don't know who sings the song.
Better than Shine.
All right, fair enough. Thank you very much, Meredith Brooks. Thank you very much. Sorry.
Make him away. Make him away.
617-779-7937. Dale and Keith. Oh, speaking of dumb things from major league teams or professional teams.
Oh, we have more?
We talked about Major League Baseball and the idiotic way they're hyping up.
This takes the cake.
We might retire the trophy for dumbest owner in sports.
This is amazing.
We'll tell you about him when we come back. Dale and Keith, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We are the smartest, most intelligent show in Boston. Just ask us.
I like stats. I'm a stat guy. VORP, very important to me.
And I include almost everybody on this radio station and almost everybody on that radio station. They don't know.
Now back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
I know there are times when local sports fans at various times have been frustrated with the ownership of their teams.
Oh, of course.
I mean, Bruins fans have been frustrated with Jeremy Jacobs at times. Celtics fans never get frustrated about anything.
No, Celtics fans are pretty laid back.
Yeah, they don't care. Red Sox fans,
for
despite
sure.
the success of this ownership
Absolutely.
Group, have expressed frustrations.
Yes.
Patriots fans always loved the owner of the Patriots.
Right.
Very recently, that took a bit of a hit, but...
Well, I think some of them actually love him even more after the events.
You might be right.
Yeah.
So I think we can retire the trophy here for the dumbest owner in professional sports. Now,
and spoiler alert, it's not James Dolan, I would have thought that it would have been.
And, you know, it was probably a healthy competition.
He maybe surpassed him because of this.
And this has been going on for a while now. Eugene Melnyk is the owner of the Ottawa Senators. And let's just say that they've had some issues here.
But
Melnyk is not afraid.
Okay.
To confront the whole thing, to go out there and put himself out there in public and talk about it. And Eugene Melnyk did that recently.
Eugene, I've heard from Senators fans all afternoon on social media. They're ticked off at you, and they do not hold their criticism back. How do you win back the Senators fans who have lost faith in your ownership group?
Well, I think
the key for us is, first of all, to identify who is a Senator, who's fan or not. Because I've had, you know, we tripped up one of these guys, or somebody did, and it turned out there's some little 12-year-old in Toronto that, you know, was upset with the Senators in general. And, you know, I'm a high-profile person that is an easy target. So let them do what they want to do. I basically ignore 99% of it. And for our fans, our real fans, we're doing the best we can. And all you can do is keep doing what we've been doing. We've been going, we've had a great record for the past 15, 16 years since I've owned it. We've gone to Stanley Cup Finals. We've gone to conference finals. We've had all-star games. We've had drafts. We've had outdoor games. I mean, we're doing everything more than most franchises as far as what we do for our fans.
So
there's a lot in there.
So Eugene Melnick is talking about a guy on Twitter. His Twitter, it just says Ryan, R-Y-A-N. And Ryan put out a series of tweets, a rather substantial,
but the fact that they looked it up and were like, oh, we determined it was a 12-year-old.
We tripped up one of these guys, or somebody did, and it turns out there's some little 12-year-old in Toronto.
So you don't care about it so much so that you had to look into it, find out exactly who it was that was tweeting this stuff.
And I am not exaggerating, because this I have no idea how they know he's a 12-year-old.
The tweet storm, though, is amazing.
He started out the tweet storm by just saying, the Ottawa Senators, since losing in Game 7, of the Eastern Conference Final. Take a deep breath, everyone.
Yeah.
And this
was 2 years ago, by the way. Right, they beat the Bruins in the first round, then they won the second round, then they lost. And so they looked like a team. They weren't exciting to watch. They never were. The style that they played was not super exciting, but they were really successful just 2 years ago.
And so he just starts listing. Yep. Now, some of the things, obviously, he's not blaming Eugene Melnick for. For instance, Brian Murray passes away.
He's just saying what's going on.
Since Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final,
right.
Here's what's happened to the Ottawa Senators. And he goes through this list. Like, owner Eugene Melnick threatens fans at the outdoor game that he'll move the team, which he did.
Right.
Just for instance, most talented player in franchise history, Erik Karlsson, put on trade block. Then he follows up with assistant GM Randy Lee, accused of sexually harassing 19-year-old bus driver.
Oh, okay.
Melnick hires the Larry Flint lawyer to represent Randy Lee.
Mm.
New COO has to be hired before Randy Lee is suspended.
Got it. Which we talked about, and really their wives and what they were saying at each other. So then they basically had to trade Hoffman away. Remember, he was saying some vile stuff on there. Or it was his wife, right? It wasn't even Hoffman himself. It was Hoffman's wife. And then they ended up trading both of them. There's a great, somebody tweeted this out a while ago. It was 2 years. It was the team photo
of the
Ottawa
Senators. It's that team that
we're talking about. Yeah, the same team
that beat the Bruins. Lost in Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
And so they have the entire roster. So what is that, 25 guys or whatever it is? And they put the jersey of the current team that they are on. I think they have 5 players from that team. Maybe 6.
They have 6.
They have 6 players from that team. Yeah, Bobby Ryan you can't get rid of. But the other guy, they have 6 players from that team from just 2 years ago. They're in dead last, by the way.
The players who remain are Cody Ceci, Mark Borowiecki, Zach Smith, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, Craig Anderson, and Bobby Ryan.
Yeah, what a roster.
That's it.
They are in dead last. They've been eliminated from the playoffs now for a while. They have, the worst record in all of hockey. 2 years ago, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals. And this guy is talking about how, well, any true fan would know how much good we have done. Like, what an easy answer. If somebody had the very first question there that was asked, like, how do you win back the fans? Win more. We got to win. We got to win. We've had some hurdles. We got to get over them, and we got to win. It's pretty simple, isn't it? And then as soon as you go, yeah, the negativity, it's really just, you know, the people on Twitter. And then you can't claim to not care about it and then have somebody on your staff look up and find out if it's a 12-year-old. So he's aware of all these tweets. You're giving that guy even more value.
So what he did was he just dismissed it all. Yeah, well, we found out it was some 12-year-old from Toronto. Look, I have no idea.
Like, he's just pointing out what has happened in the last years.
If Ryan on Twitter is a 12-year-old from Toronto,
who cares if he is?
He's pretty intelligent. And by the way, I barely scratched the surface of the things that have happened to this team in the last 2 years.
Well, they've gotten rid of all their good players, too. And then at this trade deadline, too. So within the last 2 years, they had Karlsson, Stone, Hoffman, Brassard, Dzingel, and Duchesne. All of them are gone. The top 6 scorers from last year's team are all off the team. Like, they're a disaster. But then he gets so defensive, and he's like, any true fan, like, give me a break, any true fan. They're going to be okay with you guys being this bad?
I'll give you one of the little tweet of the storm that this guy put out. Team refuses to refund season tickets after the Erik Karlsson trade. Season tickets down by 4,000. Uber video showing players roasting assistant coach and defense.
Oh, I forgot about that one. That was another good one. Yep.
For our fans, that are real fans.
That is so bad when only the positive fans are real fans. That's insane. If the fans are passionate about your team, they're going to stick with you while you're bad, but they're also going to criticize you, and they should. They've put together a terrible product on the ice, but you got to be able to spin that. You got to be able to spin that into, hey, you know, we know what we're doing, but we're going to rebuild this team, and we're going to be back where we are. The fans deserve it, blah, 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 blah. It's so easy to answer those questions.
So let them do what they want to do. I guess they ignore 99% of it.
You're not ignoring it. You're literally talking about it, and you reference specifically this one kid that has pointed out. So you're doing the opposite of ignoring it.
After he gets rid of, you know, most of the team, after he gets rid of anybody who matters.
Anybody who's any good.
Their general manager does a radio interview about, you know, all the guys who have left. Karlsson, Stone, the whole bit. He says, quote, fans are married to players. Marry new players. Get a new girlfriend.
Wait a minute. So you want a girlfriend and a wife? Like, what are we doing here? What are we talking about here? No, but that is so bad because, again, Karlsson and Hoffman couldn't be on the same team. You had to get rid of Hoffman, so then you also got rid of Karlsson. It was like, what are you doing? And if anything, if you were going to trade Karlsson, do it earlier. Do it a year earlier, and then you probably could have gotten a lot more for him.
The owner of the team goes on Toronto Sports Radio, calls upset fans fake fans. You've heard this phrase before.
Fake fans.
He then says Ottawa Mayor Jim Watson should keep his mouth shut. This guy makes...
No, it is.
He makes the Indianapolis Colts ownership look stable and safe.
No, he does. But it is very similar to James Dolan. Like when James Dolan the other night, he was walking by and a fan said, hey, Dolan, sell the team. And then he took the guy's tickets away and kicked him out of the arena. Like, it's very similar. Like, you can't only say, we only have positive fans, and those are the only smart fans, and those are the only ones we care about, because that's just ridiculous.
So if you think that, and let's be honest, sports fans in these parts have been pretty spoiled for a long time now. Your team's never awful. Any of the four major teams, they're never awful.
Right.
They're always at least competitive. Sometimes they're championship teams. You've got two championships sitting in your city right now. So it's not bad. But if you ever get frustrated with your ownership, just remember there might be a guy worse than he's worse than Dolan.
He's right up there for me with Dolan. He's up there.
He's worse than Irsay.
Oh yeah, Irsay doesn't do anything.
He is the worst owner in sports.
He could be.
Not that anybody cares. I mean, it's the Ottawa Senators.
It's the Ottawa Senators. I know, but it is kind of a joke to think about where they were 2 years ago and then where they are now.
Steve's on the cell. Hey Steve, how you doing?
Hey, you know who else you could throw in as dumb owners is the owner of the New York Giants. Who he's gotten rid of this year in keeping Eli Manning and trying to sell that to the fans.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, sticking with Eli Manning is bizarre. And getting rid of Odell Beckham. I mean, they got a decent return, I would say, for Beckham. Better than, obviously, what Pittsburgh got for Antonio Brown. But sticking with Eli Manning 2 years too long is certainly an odd decision to make.
And it appears that there's no end in sight. No.
Give him an extension. Pay him for just have him there forever.
Maybe they'll go get the quarterback from Arizona. Maybe they'll do this.
Maybe they'll draft somebody.
The kid from Ohio State this year.
Right.
But they've got to get the next quarterback. But I still don't think that ownership is as dumb as some of these others.
Dolan was always my leader in the clubhouse. And at least they have won. The Mariners have won something at least. Not that long ago, you know, so they're probably off the list.
Just listen to his excuse, though, why they're doing so well.
We've gone to conference finals. We've had all-star games. We've had drafts.
We've had outdoor games.
I mean, we're doing everything more than most franchises as far as what we do for our fans.
All-star games, drafts, and all-star games, drafts, and outdoor games? What does that do?
We made it to a conference final.
We played outside? Okay, great. What does that do? Do fans really care about that much? We've had drafts. You guys hosted the draft.
Congratulations. Well done.
Like, do you get points for that? We had the drafts. They lost in the conference finals in 2017. They missed the playoffs last year. Weren't close. And they've already been eliminated from the playoffs this year.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Kiefer Madness, bottom of the hour. Our week in review probably won't include Chris Shimes karaoke, but
no, that'll be next week.
Maybe should.
Yeah, it should.
Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.